Hello again, everyone, and welcome to the show. On behalf of Disciple of City, I'm Todd Carlton, and this is the Toddcast. Friends, Disciple of City exists to equip Christians with simple tools on how they can be confident to share the gospel in their everyday life. For more information on that, check out our website at discipleofcity.ca. We have a video series there that you can link up with, and you can also connect with the 100K harvest that we are currently doing this year in 2025. Friends, the Toddcast is a non-for-profit charitable organization along with Disciple of City. And if you have been encouraged by this podcast or feel led to donate, we would greatly appreciate that. And you can do so at that same website, discipleofcity.ca, and you can find the Toddcast Ministries in there. Friends, don't forget to follow us along at the Toddcast on Instagram at the Toddcast _DAC. And we are now on YouTube. So please help get the word out with all these fantastic testimonies. Subscribe, share with your friends, and all that good stuff. And subscribe wherever you are listening to this podcast as well. Well, my guest today is a former employee with YFC. He is with Hockey Ministries International. He's the chaplain for the Peterborough Petes and the OHL here in Peterborough. And he's soon leaving us to go back to his home country of New Zealand, where there are no snakes, which is fantastic. Friends, please welcome my guest today, Davy Jones.
Thanks for having me on.
Hey, bro.
Good to be here.
Good to see you. Glad we could do this in person, too, bud.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
In famous Bethany.
Famous. Oh, hey, you're not supposed to reveal the exact location of the Toddcast studios because most people have difficulty finding it, right? It's a big secret. Anyways, he's mistaken, friends. That was just a sign that he drove by. Dude, how's it going?
Really good, thank you.
Good to see you, man.
Good to see you too.
Lots to talk about today, but especially a very significant move that you are doing.
Yes.
Friends, there's a history with myself and Dave where when I first came to faith, and I guess early on in your faith journey as well.
Yeah.
We were gathering with a bunch of dudes hanging out at a Tim Hortons, just going through the word and just kind of figuring out this Christian journey.
Yeah, it was a beautiful time. Really thankful for that.
Good group of guys there. Jeff Pasco.
That's right.
Kind of the organizer of that, the guy that birthed that whole thing, which was really good.
Yeah, thankful for his obedience to God to get that going.
Yeah. But Davey, take us through the story. Tell us when you, because I don't really know this part, or we just talked about it in the green room before we came on, but just you coming to Canada. From New Zealand, what was it like in New Zealand and what brought you here?
Yeah, for sure. Born in Wellington, New Zealand, and grew up there. And my mom's from Canada, dad's from New Zealand. So then when I was about 9 years old, my parents split and my mom brought my two younger sisters and I back over to Hamilton. And it was quite the change moving from New Zealand back to Canada, but more so Wellington to Hamilton of all places. And so ended up there and felt pretty isolated and pretty overwhelmed by the change. Had lost a lot of connections with family members because I had a lot of cousins there and no cousins here. So I felt pretty alone and really struggled with that when I first got over here.
Bro, like I said at the beginning, friends, we're a non-for-profit charitable organization, so we don't have the funds for the fantastic microphones that everybody has. So you almost have to just be a little bit closer there when you speak and stuff. So Hamilton, how old were you, dude?
I would have been about 9.
So were your family like Christian background or where was your faith at that?
We grew up going to Roman Catholic Church. And then when we moved over to Canada, we started going to Baptist Church in Dundas.
Okay. And so, then around the time where we met, you said you went to school in Northern Ontario.
Yeah. And so, a little quick catch up in that journey is that about a year after we moved to Canada, my mom was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. And my dad, they talked it out, sorted the differences out. My dad came over and cared for my mom and my sisters and I while my mom went through radiation and chemo and surgery. They gave her about 3 months and she fought for almost 3 years, which was amazing. But unfortunately, she passed away from cancer. But through that experience, she reconnected with a lot of old friends who were Christians. And she went from that place of, we went to church every Sunday, youth group, Sunday school, that kind of thing. But I saw a difference in her life from just going to church. And the difference in her life was then she understood who Jesus was. And she gave her life to Christ and started following Jesus. And I noticed a big difference in her life. And that was profound for me. And so then that carried forwards. But after she passed, we all kind of isolated ourselves and struggled to figure it out or to grieve and to process any of that. So eventually when I turned 18, my dad said, you can either, you know, get a job, start paying rent, or you can get out of the house. And I was too proud at that point to pay rent in my own family home. So I felt like, all right, I'm gone. Called up my best friend and said, where are we going? And he said, I'm going up to North Bay for college for sports conditioning. And I said, hey, sports sounds fun, so let's do it. So we went up there and had an amazing experience. But one of the key things when I got up there was I thought to myself, I got to rewrite who I am here. This is an opportunity. And so I went in and signed up for all the clubs and groups I could. One of them was the Nipissing Canada Christian Fellowship. The university and college there share a campus. Started going to that and quickly found this amazing group of people who just loved me. And it was something, the love and acceptance I'd been looking for a long time. And through that process, I came to understand that these people loved me because Jesus first loved them, which talks about in 1 John. And I was confused by that because I'd tried drinking, partying, just anything and everything I could to try and find that love and acceptance from people, but couldn't find it anywhere. It was all hollow and it didn't mean anything. But then these people, even though they saw all the different sides of me, just loved me. And that didn't make sense, but they kept saying it's because Jesus loved us first. We love you. And so, yeah, I came to Christ there and put my faith and trust in Jesus, started following him, made him Lord of my life. And quickly my life started turning around and changing really quick. About a year later, felt the call to come down to Peterborough for Bible college. And so, yeah.
So where did you, okay. So, well, first of all, that's a very sad story about your mom. But amazing of her increase in faith that, because those types of things, right, can drive people away from the Lord, or, you know, just so many questions of why and stuff, especially when you're young and to lose a parent and stuff. But it actually, it actually drew you more into faith because of her, the increase in her faith.
Yeah, very much so. And I cling to that verse, you know, it says, what the enemy meant for evil, the Lord turned for good. The story of Joseph there, and it's so true in my own life as well. And I've seen how God used something that was really hard and awful to really draw my mom to God and draw me to God, and also has equipped me to be able to be there for people who are grieving and hurting in a way that someone who's only lost someone that close to them can.
Yeah. What college did you go to when you came to Peterborough? And you say that draw, like, was there just a draw that you wanted to serve in ministry, or because what you were taking a sports program up there as well?
Yeah. And sports conditioning was a lot of fun. Learned a lot about training, learned a lot about how to be fit and how to train athletes, which I enjoyed, but then found Jesus and I basically kind of dropped the course, stopped putting kind of any energy into it at all. I realized that I'd been trying to fill what I should be doing, but realized quickly. I mean, just quick, I'll say something that always stood out to me was I loved Red Bull athletes because they were all in, balls to the wall. Everything they had was for one thing. They were so fully committed. And I always dreamed of being able to do one thing well. But unfortunately, I realized that the reality for me was that I was mediocre at everything I tried. I was good enough to fit in, but I was never amazing at anything I'd ever tried in my life. And then found Jesus and realized, this is it. This is my Red Bull moment. I'm all in. And so went all in, and then realized to follow God like this, I need to know the Bible. I need to know his word, because a mentor up there had taken the time to sit down with me and start going through the Bible and explaining what it actually said about who God is, who Jesus is, who I am in relation to that, and the invitation that God had for me to follow him and to have a relationship with him through what Jesus had done on the cross, paying the price for my sins. And so I wanted to know what this book really said, right? The Bible, I wanted to understand it. And so felt like I was supposed to go to Bible college, started talking to people at church, and quickly Kawartha Lakes Bible College, this small school down in Peterborough, came up. And I thought, this has got to be it. I don't want to go for a 4-year course. I'm not into the university style. I know I don't thrive in that. So I wanted to have an introduction to the Bible. And they literally had a 1-year course called Biblical Introduction. And so came down and signed up for that course and ended up here, kind of just following God faithfully to where he would lead, which has been
And that's where you were when we were first hanging out?
That's right, yeah. And
that's a long time ago. That's probably why I don't remember. Like, I would have known.
Yeah.
Was Josh in that with you?
He wasn't, no.
No, it was just you, but he was down here as well.
Yeah, we were roommates in Bible college, which was awesome, and I was so thankful for him. And but no, I came down and I said to God, you know, I'm leaving an awesome group of young adults, an awesome group of men. I said, God, I need community around me. And I quickly found Jeff Pascoe and quickly found The Well and started coming out to this Bible study at Tim's and just finding these really genuine, raw, real guys and would just go through the Bible and read it and understand it. And it was a great parallel, I found, to studying the Word of God in Bible college was great. And then being able to practically apply it with guys whose lives were messy as and were just, they were going through the thick of it. It was powerful to be able to do both of those things, right? Get the head knowledge, but the real heart knowledge at the same time.
And just a side note on that, for anybody listening, watching, that may be interested in starting a men's group, if you do it outside of a church, very effective at drawing in other people, right? I mean, they're great in a church and that stuff all works too, but just the sense that there was a lot of people who came to that who likely were not going to go to something organized at a church.
Definitely.
At that time in their journey anyways, right? So just because we're men, we're non-committal.
Yeah, that's right. But we could have a coffee and a donut, sit there and talk, right?
That's because you could get out if you wanted to.
That's right. The door was
which
right
some
there.
Did. Some did, right? Yeah, some left or whatever. But anyways, you know, that was all good. So so what after that, did you go right into ministry? What was your thing after that, like as far as work goes, just searching for a ministry thing? It's funny that you say about Red Bull too. I more look at them as the insane athletes.
And that's what I wanted to be.
I mean, athletes are all in. Yeah. Those guys are insane.
But that's what I wanted to be, right? I wanted to be like a Jesus freak. I wanted to be all in for Jesus. I was like, this is everything I've ever searched for. I even had a moment, I forgot to mention, there was a moment going into my second year in college where I thought that I'd been doing everything right, thought I'd been following, like going to church and doing all the right things, but I was really going through the motions. And I really felt like I challenged God and said, you know, there's nothing, what's going on here? Like, it feels like this isn't really changing my life. I said, if there's not more purpose to life than what's going on in my life right now, I don't want to live anymore. And that was when I actually started connecting and going deeper and realizing that it's because I had God kind of just off to the side and hadn't really made him Lord of my life. I hadn't decided to surrender everything and follow him. And that was the Red Bull moment, was I'm all in, I'm leaping off this cliff, or snowboarding was my favorite. So I'm hucking it off this crazy jump and just going for it and trusting that God's going to do something amazing. And he has. And so, yeah, ministry, what'd that look like? I finished Bible college. The church I was going to at the time was looking for an interim youth pastor. And so I said, hey, yeah, I'll try that out. I love working with youth. And so tried that out for a year and loved it. Found very quickly that I was really good at the relational side, but really struggled at the organizational side and the planning side. So some of the youth loved that and some of them found that very challenging.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. So you did that for what, for a year?
Did that for a year. And then after that, well, through the whole process, was working for Christian Horizons as well, caring for people with special needs, and absolutely loved doing that also. Yeah. And so then there was kind of a period of time there after that where I just focused on working for Christian Horizons and enjoyed that. But still felt like there was more, right? And so during that whole process, my mentor who led me to the Lord, Ken, up in North Bay, had challenged me. He said, listen, and I love this. He goes, I don't know how much time I got left in life. And so there's no beating around bush. There's no messing around. He said, you have to be all in if you want to do this. And I said, yeah. And he said, don't waste my time. And I said, okay, I respect that. And he goes, part of that is you have 1 year and then I want you to be mentoring someone else after that time. And I was like, there's no chance I'll ever be ready for that. But if he hadn't have said that, I wouldn't be where I am today. And so even while I was working at Christian Horizons full time, I was still mentoring these guys who God would bring along into my life and just walking with them and discipling them, right? and love doing that. But it got to a point where I met my amazing wife, Amanda, and I'm so thankful for her, this mighty, incredible woman of God. And then we got married and we started having kids. And then all of a sudden I realized one kid comes along, two kid comes along, and we're like, life is getting so busy. And there's so many opportunities for this mentorship and discipleship I'm doing with guys that I got to commit to that. And felt like, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, you can bleep it out afterwards, but felt like God was challenging me to say, I can't half-ass it anymore. And that I was doing two things, but really I needed to trust him and step out fully into ministry. And so I started exploring that and started asking and talking with different ministries to see if what I felt like I was called to do fit with their ministry. And so I talked with a number of different ministries about that. And it didn't fit the mold or the model of what a lot of these other ministries really stood for and wanted to do, their mission statement, right? But kept pushing and kept challenging and eventually had the opportunity through Youth for Christ, which I'm so thankful for, to start doing mentorship and discipleship full time.
Yeah. And so that's good. And that's so helpful to all the youth, right, that are there. You don't have to move. I'll move this for you.
Thank you.
I'll take care of that. Yeah. And so you did that for a bunch of years. And hockey ministries, just leading into that, how did you, before we get into that, does something come to mind quickly of a really intense, not intense is probably not the right word, but a really heartfelt moment that you had with somebody in your time with YFC, like with a youth? Was there something that was like really impactful? Somebody maybe that was really far gone and just really came to know the Lord?
Yeah, there's one amazing young guy who stood out, who I just was brought along by a friend, and we just had the opportunity to continue to share about God with him and just be there for him. And like one of my favorite things I've got to do in ministry in my life, both, you know, official ministry, but just also just, it's a silly term, but just like, you know, vocational ministry and just everyday life ministry, is to help people reframe what their image of Jesus looks like. That a lot of people have an image of Jesus as that guy on the cross at a Catholic church, right? And it feels kind of maybe distant, and that's what it felt like to me growing up. But when I came to actually know who Jesus was, it transformed my life. And so I love getting to work with people to help them to understand and just model for them that Jesus wants that relationship with them, that he loves them, that he walked with them. I love the Chosen, a great just vision, right? An image of what that actually looks like, a real Jesus who just walks with you and loves you and wants that relationship with you. And so this guy over time came to see that, and we got to share the gospel with him. And eventually he decided that this was what he wanted as well and decided to follow Jesus. And that was a beautiful and encouraging opportunity, and has been amazing to see him grow into that.
That's awesome. Don't forget your coffee too, bro.
Thank you.
Gotta enjoy your coffee, right? That's all part of it. It's all part of the show.
Yes, sir.
Free coffee. In-house guests get free coffee.
Thank you.
Hockey ministries. How did you get involved with that?
Yeah.
Now we've had the B-man. The B-man's right. Been on the show.
Yes. So B-man, he was going to the church that I was at, that I was the interim youth pastor at. And I got talking with him about these hockey camps that they did for these kids. And I'd always loved camp and the impact that it had on kids' lives. It had an impact on my life as well. And so had the opportunity to go with B-Man and help him run one of these camps down in Brantford. And loved every single minute of that, getting to get on the ice with these kids and have the opportunity to talk about Jesus as well, to combine sports and Jesus. I think that's it, right? That was my dream. That was my you know, niche, was to combine sports and Jesus. I just loved it.
And friends, if you're listening out of the country, B-Man is Brian Miller. He is the trainer for the Peterborough Petes. The Correct. Peterborough Petes is part of the OHL.
Yes.
Which is from what age? What age is the OHL typically?
That'd be 16 to 19/20.
And this is the league that feeds into the NHL.
Correct. Yeah. It's
In the American Hockey League and that whole thing, if you're from out of the country.
Correct.
So you are the official chaplain.
No longer the chaplain now. I've passed the torch, actually.
You've actually passed the torch, but you were.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've obviously passed the torch because you're going to the land of no snakes.
That's right. And so, it feels like a little bit of a jump, but can I share how that like came about, the passing of the torch and the...
Well, why don't you share how you became the chaplain?
Okay, I can go there first. Yeah, for sure, for sure.
And how long were you doing that?
Yeah, for sure. And so I was with B-Man at church there, and after church there was a breakfast that was going on, and so went to the breakfast and sat down with B-Man, and beside him was Tim Coles, who you've also had on, and he was...
No, I haven't had Tim Coles yet.
Oh, I thought you have.
It's hard to find.
Okay, okay.
Well, we gotta... He's like Jason Bourne. Tim Coles. We got to get Tim Coles on the show.
He's got to get on here. Let's go.
Sheila, we need Tim Coles.
Yes. And so Tim Coles was the chaplain at the time, and I sat down with him and started hearing about what he does, and I thought, man, this is my dream. This would be the ultimate. And so I sat down with them and tried to play it cool, but I'm sure I came across really eager. And I said, listen, if there's ever an opportunity, I would love to volunteer with you. I'd love to be part of this with you. Anything you need, just let me know. And he said, okay, I'll pray about it and think about it. And I think it was a couple months later, he reaches out and midway through the season says, hey, why don't you come check it out? Come try out a chapel, see what it looks like. And so I did and fell in love with it immediately. Just being able to be there for the boys and to get to encourage them and talk about Jesus with them, and to just be there for these guys who... my heart has always been, right? Like, some of them ask, like, why are you here? They're like, is there a catch to this? I go, there's no catch. It's, listen, I'm here. Similar to the way the Christian said to me, right? God first loved me, so I'm here to love you. And I'm here in the way for you that I wish someone had been there for me through 16 through 20, because there was nobody there in that way for me. And I wish there had been. And so I'm thankful to be there for these guys. And so, yeah, Tim brought me in and I got to stick with him and keep going. And, have been doing that since right up until the end of this past season.
That's awesome. And you know Bruce Mackey.
I do know Bruce Mackey. You've had him on.
I've had Bruce Mackey for sure. Good friend Bruce Mackey.
Yes.
From the tiny town that time forgot.
That's right.
Belleville, Ontario.
That's right. Bruce taught me a lot of what I know. Thanks, Bruce.
Yeah, Bruce is solid. Okay, so now because you're in light of what's happening in your future, you've passed the torch. So share that story.
Yeah. And so... God's taught me this beautiful thing in my life that there are seasons to everything. And that's a very uncomfortable thing for me because I don't like change a whole lot. But he's made me do a lot of it. And so I was walking down the hall at the rink and looking at the team photos, and I was looking at them and going, okay, David Fisher, the original Pete's chaplain, right? Had about 10 years that he was the lead chaplain for. Tim Coles, about 10 years lead chaplain for. And I start looking down the years that I've been there with the team, and I go, oh boy, it's been about 10 years almost that I've been with the team for.
Has it really been that long?
It was pretty crazy, yeah.
Wow, bro. Yeah. Time's flying.
It has, yeah. And so I'm looking at that, and then as I'm looking at it, I feel like God just gives me this really clear thought and challenges me and goes, would you be willing to let it all go? And I was like, why, yeah. What are you talking about? Why would I do that? This is the perfect fit for me. I love this. It's my niche. I love doing this. It's so encouraging and fun and exciting. I feel like I fit so well here. I've never felt more alive. He goes, yeah, but would you be willing to let it go? And I said, thought about it for a second. I said, yeah, obviously it's your ministry, not mine. I'd surrender it to you. And this is about 2 years ago. And I didn't know what was coming at that point, but I was willing to let it go. And so I sat down with my co-chaplain at the time, Luke Jenkins, and really awkwardly had to say, hey, listen, I feel like there's a chance God might be calling me away from this. Would you be willing and ready to take this on? And at the time, he gave me a bit of a blank stare and went, wait a second. I said, listen, it'll be a process and I'll make sure that we pass the torch well and you're well supported. But yeah, it started in that moment.
So is that kind of the typical thing where you have a, I don't know if assistant's the right word, but somebody that's your mentoring in that role? Because you did that with Tim. Has this guy been with you for a while? Is that kind of the pattern?
Yeah. Yeah, so I think Luke's been with us about 5 years now, something like that, or slightly longer, and so, so thankful for him. I knew him from church back in the day when we were doing youth, and then he ended up going off to university, being part of Power to Change at Queens, and when he came back, I immediately reached out and said, hey, we gotta get you in. That was while Tim and I were still doing it together, and I said, hey, we got to bring this young guy in with us. He's amazing. And not all chaplains have that. That's something I try to encourage a lot of chaplains in. I was really thankful to have that opportunity under Tim. And I encourage a lot of other chaplains to say, hey, like you gotta, and just anyone in life, like if you're doing ministry, you gotta find someone younger than you and bring them under your wing and be passing that torch. Cause at a certain point that you're not going to be there anymore. And if you haven't trained someone up, then who's going to be the one to step into that, right? You don't want to lose all the relationships and the opportunities there. And so this has been beautiful to have Luke be there the whole time and now pass the torch, and they already know him. It's not like a reintroduction. These guys know him, the team knows him, everyone knows him. So he's amazing and he'll do an incredible job.
And again, if you're listening from out of the country, these kids aren't necessarily, well, they're, most of them aren't local kids. They're coming from all across the country.
Correct.
And beyond too.
Yeah. Right? And the OHL, there's usually one or two home guys because that draws a crowd and they support them like that. But typically a lot of these guys are coming from all other parts of Canada, the States, and even Europe.
And that's pretty young, 16.
It's really young for sure.
Yeah. So they come and people billet these kids and stuff. So it's good to have a program for them for something that is there for them if they want. Again, like you said, it's not a forced thing, right? But it's something that's there for them.
Yeah, chapel's voluntary. Anyone can come out who wants to come out, and just that opportunity to be there for these guys.
So 10 years, you've gone through that. That's a lot of different players and stuff.
Yeah.
And so, you know, without naming any names, do you have a story of somebody that was either struggling or maybe really searching for the Lord that really had a tangible encounter or had something in your time there?
Honestly, it's not even one. We've been blown away. I have to preface this by saying that a number of years ago, I was driving to chapel and asking God, what do you want from this program? What is this supposed to look like? And he challenged me and he said, your dreams are too small. And I said, okay. And so at the time, it was our expectation was that we would show up and we would run chapel, that it would be there for the guys. Our goal was that we'd get to share the gospel. And our dream was that maybe one day someone would come to Christ and know Jesus and we'd get to walk with them and encourage them in that journey. But God turned it around and challenged me and he said, you got to change that up. And so the expectation came to be that we would share the gospel boldly and clearly. And that make that invitation known. Again, it's never anything forced. It's an invitation to say, here's what Jesus offers you. And would you, you know, consider that and see if that's something you want in your life? And so we did that. And then the goal was that we would get to walk with a number of guys in their journey with God. And the dream was that we would see revival in the NHL. And that is still the dream. And now we're starting to see it actually come true, which is amazing. Because we've seen 10 guys now in the last 4 years come to Christ and decide to follow Jesus. So and their lives have been transformed and changed.
Yeah.
And we're so encouraged by that. So excited by that to see these guys who are in their own words. It's that when they move on from the OHL, it's a brotherhood. It's fun. They're all the same age ish. Right. And they're having a great time. Then they move on to the AHL, or sometimes the ECHL or the NHL, these different levels of hockey. And no matter where you're at, no matter how famous you are, it's very lonely. Because you don't know these guys really well and you're all focused on your goals and your dreams. And there's a lot of different ages and age ranges there, right? Some of them are 20, some of them are 40. Or if you're younger, you're like 46. And they're there and they feel really alone and they don't have a whole lot of support. And they're in a different city, a different country even sometimes, right? And to have that opportunity to have built that relationship with them and to know them, reach out to them, encourage them and say, hey, how's things going? Is powerful, but even more to be able to introduce them to Jesus, who says, like he did to me when my mom passed away, again, not an audible voice, but just a really clear thought, I'll never leave you or forsake you. No matter where you go, I'll go. And man, what a powerful, powerful message and beautiful encouragement that is. So a number of these guys have come to know that at all these different levels, the OHL, ECHL, AHL, and NHL. And we're so encouraged by that. So now they can be there for these other guys the same way that the Christian student group was there for me to walk alongside someone who feels alone in a new place and say, hey, God has a purpose for your life. God loves you and God wants a relationship with you. You don't have to feel alone. What a thought.
Yeah. Amen. And God has a purpose for everybody's life. And it's, you know, boils down to how much do we believe that and how much are we willing to sacrifice and listen and pray and go down that path. So
amen.
Speaking of that, so now you're well, obviously you said you're married, you have kids, you have like 18 kids, right?
Three, but feels like 18. That's right. That's right. and
you guys are making a big sacrifice or a big, big change, to go to New Zealand. So now I don't know how much you want to share, because you were, there was reasons that you were going that kind of changed and shifted, but obviously God's called you there for something. So
yeah, we've learned that when God makes a calling, it's interesting because it doesn't always, we want things to be really clear, obvious. We want all the pieces in place, but the reality is often different than that, that when God makes a calling, he's calling powerfully, clearly, but the details and the pieces aren't always clear. And so it's felt like walking through fog, to get to where we are. And we know there'll be more ahead, but the calling is so clear and we know where we're supposed to be. And the details continue to come together as we go.
So what, if you want to share, what initially, who initially got the draw to go there, you or your bride?
Yeah. So that was me. I was having a conversation with someone and, it launched the idea of, you know, I'm from New Zealand originally, born and raised, and had always dreamed of getting back. And there was this opportunity to go and to be a part of getting ministry going again. And so started pursuing that. And along the way, things have changed a little bit. And now it's going to be that my amazing bride, Amanda, is going to be working and doing the ministry there with E3 Ministries, doing the discipleship and evangelism training. And encouraging and challenging these youth to know more about Jesus and understand what they're doing when they decide that they want to follow God and understand what that looks like to follow him with obedience.
And who is she connecting with? What down there? Like what organization is she connecting with down there?
Going with E3 and going as missionaries to connect with whoever God wants us to connect with. We still don't actually have all the details, which is feels really wild and crazy, but we just have such peace about it. I remember I came home after having this conversation and I said to God, you know, I'm going to lay down a fleece here, right? If you haven't heard of that, it's in Gideon does this and in the Bible. And so he lays down a fleece and I said to God, okay, I'm going to lay these two down and you let me know if this is what you want for us. So I said, number one, Amanda has to be more excited. My wife has to be more excited about this than I am. And number two, you have to provide someone who's ready and willing to take on this chaplaincy to make sure this ministry won't run by the wayside. And so I went home, told Amanda, and she was way more excited than I was and fired up about going and serving. She's always wanted to travel. She's always wanted to do missions overseas. And so she was actually super excited. So that was number one. And then went and talked to Luke again, and he was excited as well. And so the confirmations were there and it was time to go.
That's awesome. So when are you guys leaving?
We're leaving at the end of September, heading over there and going to serve the Lord and see what he's got for us and who he wants us to connect with.
Are you timing that seasonally because you'll be getting into summer so you can do triple summer?
Bit of that. Yeah.
I guess you won't be doing triple because you're staying.
Double summer. Yeah. Really excited. Double summer. Yeah. Really excited for double summer and no more shoveling snow for a while, which will be really nice. Yeah.
So great experience for your family, great experience for your kids, experience another culture. And like you were telling me upstairs, because you have dual citizenship, you're able to go there and actually to work as well. Right. So you can support each other.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think just an encouragement to everyone out there as well, which is beautiful, is that I worked in vocational ministry for a long time, but the beauty of it is I'm out of vocational ministry in this season and acknowledging that there's actually just as many opportunities every single day. You know, in the Bible it says, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations. It's not just the people who are vocationally called. It's not just the people who are doing this for a living, but it's every one of us has that opportunity as we go through life to be able to share the gospel and to be able to pray for people and disciple people. And we're getting to do that in whatever work we're doing. And I'm getting to see it right now. And it's awesome.
Yeah. And you'll still be doing that because you'll be helping her with what she's doing and all that, and your kids and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're selling your house and doing all that.
Yeah. Renting our house.
Oh, you're keeping your house here and renting it out. Okay. Yeah, so that's good. Yeah.
And God's provided a wonderful family to be able to rent that out. So we're really thankful for that. And excited to go and pursue the Lord.
Do you have some family that you're staying with in New Zealand, or what's the plan when you get there?
Not yet. We're still for, again, it sounds great. And this, like, yeah, it's, it just sounds crazy go down there to with a lot three of people, kids and we're going, right?
Well, there's no snakes, so you could just camp.
That's right. Camping is beautiful and the nature's beautiful there, but no, we're seeking God in this journey. And, you know, it's like the book of Ruth, right? She says, where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll follow you. And that's what we're doing. We're following God, and we've done that every step of our lives so far. And people have looked at us and thought, you're crazy. That doesn't make any sense. Even going to Bible college, you know, people thought that doesn't make any sense. Why would you go do that? Why wouldn't you get a job? There's great job opportunities for you. Why would you go and pay to go to Bible college for a year? But I just knew I had to go and had to be there. And God has provided every step of the way. And as we've followed him, in this crazy obedience, this beautiful obedience to what he wants for us, we've realized that it was the most beautiful thing we could ever do.
What is the climate like down there as far as you getting work? Will it be relatively easy to find a job? Do you think it'll be difficult? Do you even know? Or
yeah, I think it'll be easy for sure.
Yeah.
We've been connected with churches there to see what opportunities are there. And I've learned in my life so far that if you're teachable and humble, which I seek to be always, that I can learn any job, right? And so I was praying about it while I'm working right now for this amazing guy, Mike Halkew of Q's Moving. If you need a mover, Q's Moving. I have learned that it's so much fun.
Sometimes people just sneak a plug in there.
That's right. That's right. See, it's so much fun to work for a Christian employer and to be able to just serve the Lord while we're working, right? And again, the Bible verse, right? Whatever you do, right? Whether you eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God. And we're doing that, and it's fun. And so I've been loving this work with him. And then one day the enemy comes at me with this thought, and he just goes, you're going to work some really crap job in New Zealand. It's going to be really miserable. You're going to be flipping burgers or something, right? You're going to hate your job. And I went, for a minute, I believed it. And then I went, wait a second, no, that's garbage. I said, God's got something more if I'm being obedient, as he has every step of the way for me and for my family. So I'm actually really excited. And the kind of thought that he gave me is that he's actually got a Christian employer down there who has been obedient to God and has been working really hard, but really struggling to find a solid employee who will be there for them and support them. And I'm going to humbly come in, and God's going to line it up, and I'll be able to work for that guy and be a blessing to him. And so, yeah, whoever that is, if you're listening to this podcast in the future, it'll be really fun to look back on and say, hey, God was faithful, as he always is.
Amen. You'll have to really plug this down there. We've had some listeners in New Zealand.
Yes, sir. We'll get the listenership up down in New Zealand for sure.
Yeah, really plug it. So what are you renting your house out? So that's pretty good. Yeah, you guys are taking that's exciting. Like, it's a risk and crazy, but it's also super exciting to just do that. What about your kids? Yeah. Can you put your kids in school there? Are you going to homeschool them? What are you doing with them?
Yeah, we can put them in school down there. Christian schooling subsidized down there, which is awesome. We're currently homeschooling, and we're going to consider the options and see what they look like down there. We could continue homeschooling or could look into the Christian schools down there. So beautiful thing about New Zealand is their school system starts, their year starts January. And so we'd have some time before we got them in for the next year.
Their year starts in January,
yeah,
and runs to what, through the summer? Yeah, well, I guess it's their
December,
winter.
Yeah, yeah. And so they don't have
a full year.
Yeah, they don't have their breaks are broken up, just like little breaks. They don't have like a big summer break like we do.
Oh, I don't know about that. So what, just like weeks, 2 week chunks to
yeah.
type thing? Do they have the same sort of amount of time off? Just spread out through the year?
Yeah. But just spread out through the year, which is kind of nice. I don't know. I found it weird coming over here and all of a sudden you got 2 months off and you have to try and go back to school and get back into the routine of it and try and remember the things you learned the last year after you had 2 months off to do nothing.
Yeah.
So
do you have, is there a minimum amount of time that you're going there? Cause you're renting your house. So you're obviously planning to come back. What's your thoughts?
We're planning 2 years for now. And yeah. We'll see what God says after that.
Get ready.
That's right.
It might be 10.
Hey, we're open to whatever God has for us.
Maybe you're doing chunks of 10, dude.
Yeah. No, we've learned, right? Like our friend Adam says, right? That untamed obedience, like it's, we've been willing to go where God
wants
us
to go. You plug in his book here too?
Hey, it's a good book. It's a really good book.
Untamed Obedience. It's written by Adam Shepsky. executive director of Disciple of City and lover of snow. See, he would never go over the winter over there because he'd want to be here. He would want to stay here for the snow.
And I'm done with it for a while. I like the way my dad says it. He says, in New Zealand, the snow has the common sense to stay where it belongs, on the mountains. And so you can go up and go skiing and then come down, throw on your shorts and go swimming in the afternoon.
That's awesome. All year.
In the South Island, yeah.
Yeah.
In North Island, the snow is there only in the winter.
Your dad's still there?
No, he's here, but he's going to be moving back as well.
Is he?
So we'll have family there and got lots of cousins there as well. So really excited to see all the family down there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, we're super excited for you, man.
Thank you.
And what the Lord has in store for you guys down there. So we'll be praying for you and just bless your family and that you'll, you know, Amanda will thrive in the ministry that she's going to be doing down there.
Thank you. Yeah. And it's, again, we've learned that, right? Like when we follow God's lead, it's not always comfortable or easy, but it's the most worthwhile and beautiful and purposeful and incredible thing we could ever do. And in the end, we look back and just go, that was completely the right decision every single time.
Yeah. Awesome. Davey, thanks for being on the show, bro.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in. I haven't had an in-person one for quite a while, so that's been, well, since probably a couple months anyway. So thanks for that.
Yeah, and look at us now. Who would have thought, right?
Right? Dude, I have one final question for you, man. Luke, right, is who you pass the torch to. Well, now I've made it personal, but just some advice for Luke as, you know, you're going and there'll be a change of players too, right, in his first couple of years there because these kids will go to the NHL, move on to that type of thing. So for Luke, as far as what advice would you give him for – you know, reaching somebody that he knows is really curious, but, you know, like they're kind of resistive, but in his heart, he knows they're curious and they've kind of dropped some hints, but they won't necessarily bring it up in front of people or whatever. What advice do you give Luke to be able to share the truth with some of these guys on that team?
Coolest thing is he's already doing it, but I'd say just keep being bold about sharing the gospel and keep challenging them to investigate and look at this, look and see who Jesus is and what he's got for their lives, and to really give him a shot, give him a chance. You're going to be great, Luke.
Awesome. Thanks, bro.
Thank you. God bless you.
What's the Lord calling you to, friends? He's calling us all to something. And so what are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to give up? Are you willing to give up, whether you're in ministry or not, but Dave being in ministry, having this position in a field that he loves and enjoys, and the Lord asking, will you give it up? Because I got something else for you. Are you willing to do that too? Are you willing to be stretched? If you have yet to hear from the Lord, I just encourage you to listen to his voice because he wants to reach out to you. He wants to talk to you. If there's people in your life who know him, don't let the enemy deceive you into not talking to them. Reach out to them and grow and be encouraged. He's real, friends. Kind of my favorite logo or my favorite saying. He's real. He's real, friends. Guys, thanks for listening. Remember, subscribe. Let others hear about these fantastic testimonies. Be blessed. We'll see you next week.